Isn't today great? Today is such a great day. Everything is so great.
We're going to have a lot of fun. We got some wonderful people for you.
All you mommies and daddies out there who complain to the radio station, I got something to say to you.
And the first thing you've got to do is say the call letters properly. Okay?
It's an incredible metamorphosis of love and emotion and sensitivity and tenderness and fun and joy and happiness.
Did you know that this show represents health and hope?
That's a great day to process a very incendiary week in America. Welcome aboard the Amy Beth Arkway Show, weaving together a mosaic of voices from the arts, pop culture, personal growth, and justice. How are you? I know it's a tough one. As we wind down the not-so-very merry month of May, we'll take it all in, the cultural cacophony that the George Floyd killing and its aftermath, the protests, the morass of mendacity that hovers over the rogue presidency and all that this guy is stoking in this country. Complications regarding the COVID epidemic. I mean, all kinds of stuff we'll take on. As it comes over the transom, we'll kind of soothe ourselves with compassion, conversation, great music, your Forgotten 45s in the mix, and new music, too, from a bona fide legend who, he's got some new music out and serious longevity on his side. Love to get you in the mix, too. You're listening live. It is Sunday, May 31st, 1 p.m. out west, 3 o'clock Central, 4 o'clock here in the East. Number in motion, 347-857-4505. Twitter is 24/7, so live or on podcast, jump in when it works for you at AB Writes. And if you're tagging along for the live ride, more and more folks are doing it, and I love it. Facebook page, PopNet chat box, also at your service. So have at us the way that works best for you. The spunky, talented TCS crew are handling things for us. Trudy and Aurora in the booth and Mellow Headquarters. Show brought to you in part by Audiophile, Music Books Podcast. Go ahead, caress your ears with everything you want to hear from Audiophile, and by your pals at PopNet. Arts, culture, and conversation on air, online, up and running 24/7. And yes, indeed, they do feature select editions of the Amy Beth Arkway Show and those robust roundtables. So I think we got to handle ourselves with care as we get started here on the Amy Beth Arkway Show. Happy to have you aboard.
Been beat up and battered round, been sent up and I've been shot down. You're the best thing that I've ever found. Handle me with care. Reputation's changeable, situation's tolerable. Baby, you're
he failed to act. So now Trump and his allies are launching negative attacks against Joe Biden to hide the truth. Here are the facts. Joe Biden warned the nation in January that Trump had left us unprepared for a pandemic. Then, Biden told Trump he should insist on having American health experts on the ground in China.
I would be on the phone with China and making it clear, we are going to need to be in your country. You have to be open. You have to be clear. We have to know what's going on.
But Trump rolled over for the Chinese. He took their word for it.
The president tweeted, China has been working very hard to contain the coronavirus. The United States greatly appreciates their efforts and transparency.
China, I spoke with President Xi, and they're working very hard, and I think it's going to all work out fine.
Trump praised the Chinese 15 times in January and February as the coronavirus spread across the world.
It's a tough situation. I think they're doing a very good job.
Are you concerned about its potential impact on the global economy?
I think that China will do a very good job.
Trump never got a CDC team on the ground in China. And the travel ban he brags about? Trump let in 40,000 travelers from China into America after he signed it. Not exactly airtight. Look around. 22 million Americans are out of work, and we have more officially reported cases and deaths than any other country. Donald Trump left this country unprepared and unprotected for the worst public health and economic crisis in our lifetime. And now we're paying the price. All the negative ads in the world can't change the truth.
Cooper, the woman in Central Park who tried to cravenly use the race card against an African-American bird watcher who was actually calling her out on unleashing her dog in Central Park. Ouch. It is the Amy Beth Erkowitz Show live, April 45 for Nancy from the Knickerbockers. The Joe Biden campaign calling out Trump for his unprepared ways regarding this COVID crisis and a pair of tunes to save the national soul, save the country from the fifth dimension, and handle with care. Jenny Lewis and the Watson Twins, their great take on the Traveling Wilburys classic. We need to try to do that. We'll do it. Handle each other with care, compassion, constructive criticism, outrage. It's all part of the package, but let's do so in a very constructive way if we possibly can. Twitter is up and running at AB Writes. Phone line 347-857-4505 should you find yourself listening live on Sunday, May 31st. Facebook page, PopNet chat box, also available for those purposes, so have at us the way that works for you. Donald Trump, again, stoking all this stuff in the wake of the George Floyd murder, and boy, oh boy, you have to call it out as you see it. What was going on in Minneapolis with a person, a police officer, standing on the neck of a man, unarmed, already handcuffed, face down on the ground for 9 minutes, calling out, I can't breathe, calling out for his dead mother. I mean, this heartbreaking story unveiled. There were people standing around. Apparently some folks tried to help. These other three cops, one guy has, you know, one cop, the guy who was standing there, was charged with third-degree murder. People are upset about that. I'm not so sure the degree is an issue. Murder is murder, but they'll all sort that out in the justice system. But these other three cops have to be held accountable, too. The point is, this happens over and over again, and they have to kind of defuse this situation. But the protests that have erupted in Minneapolis and all across the country, at this point, the question is, are they constructive? Are they helping? Are they hurting? And what's going on? And certainly President Trump, the way he stokes things, not helping. I mean, he did say, to his credit, it was a bad situation. We have to look into it, okay. Not very articulate, not very, you know, forceful, but he said it. But now, of course, he issues statements like when the looting starts, the shooting starts, which is a repeat of a racist cop, police chief down in Miami in the 1960s when they had all those protests. I mean, this is scary stuff, and he's stoking it. And today he comes out with a tweet saying that Antifa, the anti-fascist, very leftist group, is being labeled a terrorist organization when there's some talk that maybe there are some people from Antifa who are involved in these protests, perhaps. But there are also some evidence that the right wing, white supremacists, are involved in this. If you go to the dark web, and they're kind of stoked this up because they want to create a race war. How come those people aren't being called out? Because Trump has his dog whistles, and that's pretty scary stuff. My take, your take, I'd love to hear it. Twitter, AB Writes, phone line 347-857-4505, Facebook page, PopNet chat box. PopNet chat box, Patsy chiming in. This country is up in flames this weekend. We were like back in the 60s. I vaguely remember it, she says. But it was a tough time, and now it's even tougher with COVID. Yeah, it's a tough time. We're in a tough time, and we have to come to a national reckoning, and something has to be done. We can't just give lip service to it. I think what I learned watching the coverage and watching African-Americans speak to this, particularly African-American men, is the fact that as a white person, I can't really understand viscerally the pain, the trauma, the grief these people feel. I can't, as a human, a fellow person, to watch somebody and the heartbreak that ensues. Obviously, we can see it. But it's so palpable, the pain that radiates off these people. And I'm talking people from all walks of life. I mean, it's a very different kind of specific trauma that a black person goes through when they see this happening over and over again to other people of that race. It just is, and we have to come to terms with it, and I think somebody said it's not, we can't wait around for white people to catch up, I think one of the commentators made, and they're right, but white people still have to do our part, and we have to acknowledge it, and we have to do beyond acknowledging it. There has to be legislation, I think, in place that makes things more uniform from one police department to another, and policies, and certain things should be outlawed, certainly chokeholds and being able to stand on somebody's neck. I don't understand what happened with that whole George Floyd thing. I really don't. And the man, of course, was accused, as usually is the case, not always, but usually these high-profile cases, always somebody who seems to have either done nothing or done something possibly, allegedly, very minor. Apparently, perhaps, accused of passing a bad check for like $20 at a grocery store. And come on, if you were a white person and you got accused of that, you would not have been found in this kind of situation. And that is the truth, and we all have to come to grips with it, white, black, Asian, Hispanic, whatever your ethnicity may be. It's just, it's incredible. Twitter, AB Rides, phone line 347-857-4505, Facebook page, PopNet chat box also. Dean says white supremacist groups should be named as terrorist groups, and all who offer material support should be charged as well. This is in response to Donald J. Trump's assertion today on Twitter a few hours ago that Antifa is a terrorist organization. Okay, I'm not saying it is or it isn't, but how come you're singling out the left? It's always the left, the radical left, he likes to call it. In fact, he made a comment about Jacob Fry, who's the mayor of Minneapolis. He seems like a nice guy or a good guy, I think he said, but he's a radical left mayor. How are you radical left? Because he's a Democrat. Everybody's a Democrat, it's a radical left. It's just crazy. Elle says, the very fine people that Trump talks about are the ones who are walking around with Confederate flags. Those are his fine people. The people who want answers are people who care. Yeah. And we don't want to play into it, and that's my point. You don't want to play into this, the looting, the violence, the burning down buildings. It doesn't help. It doesn't help. And the lawlessness, and I think it is a small fraction of people, but it doesn't take too many to do it. You know, just like they say it's only a couple of bad apple cops, that's what they try to sell on Fox. I think it's beyond that, though. I mean, it's true. Most people who are involved in it, I'm not going to say most cops are bad. Of course not. But there's a systemic problem, the way law enforcement treats particularly African-American men, and white people. It just is. I think it's more suspect first versus the citizen first tip of the hat that you get as a white person. And that's why that whole incident in Central Park, thank God it didn't explode into something tragic. But that woman deliberately, or maybe it was unconsciously, but she did call, she's on tape saying there's an African-American man who's threatening my life when he was not doing that at all. But by calling out the African-American part, you're putting the police on alert that there's danger there, there's trouble there, this person is suspect before he's a citizen. And that is really a scary place to be. And that's why I can understand the trauma, intellectually anyway, I can understand the trauma that these people are going through when they view it and when they see it, because it's painful to watch as a white person who knows that my experience has never been like that. It's just pretty daunting stuff in this country, and we have to do something about it in a more constructive and concrete way. And I think that does start with some legislation and enforcing it. And I think Cuomo today, Governor Cuomo and his presser, talked a little bit about that, the idea that when there's alleged police brutality, it cannot be handled by the local district attorney. It has to be an outside agency, which makes sense because you can't police yourself. Self-policing doesn't work. You know, it just doesn't. So what's your take? Twitter, AB Rights, phone line 347-857-4505. Let's see what else came over. We'll talk about the Biden and the empathy gap with Trump in a few minutes. We'll talk about that. Also, the VP pick, I guess there's a lot of pressure. Some people's stakes have gone up, some folks not so much. We'll take that on coming up a bit later. First, there's some new music. Hard to believe Bob Dylan, who, by the way, last week just turned 79 on May 24th. He's got a new forthcoming album out called Rough and Rowdy Ways. It drops mid-June, I think June 19th. And here's a song, appropriately enough, the first one to roll off it, called False Prophet. It's new music from a real bona fide legend, Bob Dylan. I'm Amy Bethark. We should give a listen. Taking the lyrics.
Another day they don't end, another ship going out. Another day of anger, bitterness, and doubt. I know how it happened, I saw it begin. I opened my heart to the world, and the world was changing. Mary Lou, hello, Miss Pearl, my fleet-footed guide from the underworld. Those stars in the sky shine brighter than you. You girls mean business, and I do too. of treason, an enemy of strife. I'm that enemy of the unlived, meaningless life. I ain't no false prophet, I just know what I know. I go where only the Lord can go. I'm first among equals, second to none, the last of the best. You can bury the rest, bury them naked with that silver and gold. Put up 6 feet under and I pray for their soul. What are you looking at? There's nothing to see, just a cool breeze that's encircling me. Let's go for a walk in the garden, so far and so wide. We can sit in the shade by the fountain side. The Holy Grail. I sing songs of love, I sing songs of betrayal. Don't care what I drink, I don't care what I eat. I climb the mountain with swords on my bare feet. You don't know me, darling, you never would guess. I'm enough to lock my ghostly appearance would suggest. I ain't no false prophet, I just said what I said. I'm just here to bring vengeance on somebody's head. Put out your hat, nothing to hold. Open your mouth, I'm stuffed with gold. Are you poor devil? Look up if you will. The city of God is there on the hill. Hello and goodbye. You rule the land, but so do I. You lusty old mule, you got a poison brain. I'll marry you to a ball and chain. You know, darling, the kind of life that I live, when your smile meets my smile, a supplement's got to give. I ain't no false prophet, nah, I'm a nobody's bride. Can't remember when I was born, and I looked up when I died.
As you know, I've had very great success there. Almost won the state for the first time in many, many decades. But almost won that state. And it's a great state, Minnesota. They've got to get tougher. They've got to get tougher. They've got to be strong. Honor the memory of George Floyd. Honor his memory. They have to get tougher. And by being tougher, they will be honoring his memory. But they cannot let that happen. When I saw a policeman run by a mayor who I think is probably a very good person, but he's a radical left mayor. When I saw the policeman running out of a police station for that police station to be abandoned and taken over, I've never seen anything so horrible and stupid in my life. I've never seen anything so bad. And then I see them trying to justify it. Look, they've got to be tough. They've got to be smart. We have our military ready, willing, and able, if they ever want to call our military. But we can have troops on the ground very quickly if they ever want our military. They're using their National Guard right now. As you know, I guess, as you probably know, they have their National Guard out. We can have our military there very quickly. They've got to be tough. They've got to be strong. They've got to be respected. Because these people, it's Antifa. It's a lot of radical left bad people. And they've got to be taught that you can't do this. So I'm going now to watch a great launch, and we'll see how we do. Thank you. Thank you very much.
But before we start today, with your permission, Gov, I just want to say a few words about the horrific killing of George Floyd in Minnesota. George Floyd's life mattered. It mattered as much as mine. It mattered as much as anyone's in this country. And at least it should have. And watching his life be taken in the same manner, echoing nearly the same words of Eric Garner more than 5 years ago, "I can't breathe," is a tragic reminder that this was not an isolated incident, but a part of an ingrained systemic cycle of injustice that still exists in this country. It cuts at the very heart of our sacred beliefs that all Americans are equal in rights and in dignity. And it sends a very clear message to the black community and black lives that are under threat every single day. And I'm glad the mayor of Minneapolis stepped up right away in the police department and took swift action to fire the officers involved. But I don't think that's enough. They have to be held more fully accountable, including the FBI investigation and an independent Department of Justice civil rights investigation, because we have to get to the root of all this. We have to ensure that the Floyd family receive the justice they're entitled to. And as a nation, you know as well as I, you know better than I, we have to work relentlessly to eradicate these systemic failures that inflict so much damage on not just one family, one community, but on the people of color all across this nation. And I don't think we can move forward unless we take aggressive action to rip out the insidious race-based inequalities that corrupt every part of our society.
A boy is born in hard time Mississippi, surrounded by four walls that ain't so pretty. His parents give him love and affection to keep him strong, moving in the right direction, living just enough, just enough for the city. Get the pin.
to Mr. Floyd, as it relates to Breonna Taylor, as it relates to Ahmaud Arbery, that there should be a federal investigation, not only into those police departments, but it, as appropriate, their DA's offices. And what also should happen is that there should be a federal investigation into civil rights abuses. Because throughout our country, we've historically seen racism and structural racism influence the way that the laws of America are enforced. And there, this is not new. It has been going on for a long time. I do believe that one of the reasons that more people are addressing it because they are seeing it is because of the cell phone, because of the smartphones,
exactly,
which are now capturing for all to see what our communities have known for generations, which is the discriminatory implementation and enforcement of the laws and the need, therefore, to reform these systems and also hold accountable those who abuse these systems and who engage in the kind of conduct that caused that man to die needlessly at the knee of someone who was using force that was unnecessary and was clearly not only in violation of the civil rights of that community and that man, but was, you know, torture in the way that it was done. The man couldn't breathe. He was begging. He was begging to be able to breathe. And he was executed. It was a public execution.
Interpretation on the classic Buffalo Springfield tune, circa 67, for what it's worth. On the Amy Beth Arkowitz Show, Aretha making us think, Living for the City. Stevie Wonder, a provocative tune from the 70s that reverberates today, that one for Diana. And Dylan, new music. Yeah, Bob Dylan, 79 years old. New album coming out mid-June called Rough and Rowdy Ways, the first song to roll off, False Prophet. Yeah, the man's not old. He's an icon. And along the way, we also heard some political fallout from the leaders. Donald J. Trump is tough talk, of course, about the George Floyd protesters. Empathy from Vice President, former Vice President and presumptive Democratic nominee Joe Biden, and Kamala Harris, Senator from California, about the systemic racism that pervades in the aftermath of that tragic George Floyd murder, because that's really what it was. We were watching, as she said, an execution. And the difference between now and what's been going on all these other years, people have video now. People have those smartphones. Everybody is a journalist, so to speak. So we have it there. But there were people surrounding this. Nobody stopped it. I guess some people tried to intervene, but the cops wouldn't allow it. So that's why I think those other three people have to be charged, too, the other three cops involved. So we need to see some changes in the way policing is done, the training uniformly throughout the country. Investigations have to be changed, I think. We talked about that. And there's got to be a paradigm shift in the way that we all look at it and we all talk about it. Let's talk about it. Or whatever's on your mind, by the way. Twitter, AB Wright, phone line 347-857-4505, should you find yourself joining us for the live Sunday, May 31st ride. Also, the Facebook page and the PopNet chat box available for that as well. Let's see what's coming over the transom. Chip says, burning down your own city isn't going to stop racism. Assaulting random people isn't going to stop racism. Calling anyone with white skin an evil racist isn't going to stop racism. That's true, but you hear where the outrage comes from. As Martin Luther King said, hate can't drive out hate, only love can drive out hate. But he also said that rioting is the sound of the unheard. So, you know, there, you have to understand where it's coming from, but you're right. It's not constructive at this point. It isn't helping, so we have to find other constructive ways to do it. Sun says, thank you so much for admitting and acknowledging that white people can't viscerally understand what black people go through. You have to say it, but we also have to understand that more has to be done. Yeah, I agree. We have to take it not just to the streets, now you have to take it to the legislation and the judiciary and let all of that play out. But you can't just wait around for it because lip service has been given time and time again, so we understand where the frustration has reached a boiling point. And I think maybe this is the boiling point when people see it on TV and they see it play out. And 9 minutes is a long time. Wow, really hard stuff. Hard to watch, that is for sure. The question, though, now is Joe Biden, and of course there's pressure on him to pick a woman of color. That was even before this happened. Now it's been ratcheted up, and now people are saying he should do it, and she should do it ASAP. I don't kind of agree with that. I think he should definitely pick a woman of color. I've been saying that for a while now, partly because not just in the wake of the George Floyd situation, but because we have to have enthusiasm and turnout to counterbalance what is going to be a lot of shenanigans on the part of the Republicans and Trump and the possible Russian interference, Chinese interference, et cetera, who knows. And now, of course, and we'll talk about this more and more, and it's something which I know I'm going to harp on until like a broken record, but it's really important, this whole business about how Trump is trying to undermine mail-in voting. There is absolutely no evidence whatsoever that there's more fraud in mail-in voting. In fact, there's very little evidence that there's much of voter fraud anywhere. And when there is voter fraud, it's often a Republican, at least as often as a Democrat, doing it, by the way, but that's another story. But he's trying to deliberately undermine this in case he doesn't win, just like he tried last time. It was rigged and all that other nonsense. So we have to really have a thumping and a landslide. And in order to get that, you have to have enthusiasm for the ticket. And I think you really do have to have a person of color on that ticket. That's my take on it. I don't think, however, that it has to be done by tomorrow. Tomorrow is June 1st. Usually they pick them in the summer. You know, the convention has now been pushed until August. And very often they don't. I think Biden was picked by Obama in August. Gore was picked by Clinton, I think, in July. I'm not sure when did Hillary pick Tim Kaine last year. But it was over the summer last time. 4 years ago. So I don't know that it has to be immediately. It should be soonish. I am worried about Biden because I think he's hitting all the right empathetic notes. He's perfect for this in terms of helping people cope through grief. He's really good at being the consoler in chief, whereas of course Trump is ham-handed and can't do it. He just cannot do it. So he's saying all the right things regarding both the COVID crisis and the fact that we're now at over 104,000 deaths. And when we marked the 100,000 mark earlier this week, Biden was out there making a heartfelt statement where Trump just ignored it. He just wants to ignore the whole thing. You know, he's just a baby. He won't wear a mask, all that nonsense that we always talk about. But at the same time, he dances around this business about picking the vice presidential pick, and he's already said he's going to pick a woman, a black woman, to be on the Supreme Court. And that, to me, sort of rings hollow. It's like the consolation prize. It's not going to be enough of a salve for the African-American community when they really expect it. On the other hand, he doesn't have to show his hand yet and tell people who he's going to pick. I understand that. He doesn't have to announce it yet. So I just hope he does the right thing, because so far he's hitting the right notes that he needs to hit in terms of empathy. But we really have to get that. So we can't fall complacent or lulled by these polls that show that he's leading. Hillary was leading by a landslide in 2016, too. We know how that all turned out. So we can't count on any of this stuff. So we have to really ratchet up the numbers as best we can in terms of fomenting excitement, not fear, and not hate, and certainly not just letting people languish into apathy, which is kind of what happened in 2016, unfortunately. It could happen again. I find it astounding myself, because so much is at stake, and this idea of voting, you know, it's better to vote a third party or vote for nobody because I'm not enthusiastic, like they're both bad. Well, they're not both bad. I saw an article that somebody wrote on Medium earlier this week where it said voting for nobody is not the answer. Pick the lesser of two evils, it really does matter. Because it used to be, they used to say that. It was the lesser of two evils. I remember my dad always saying that. The Democrats are the lesser of two evils. But they're not really. In this case, it's a much lesser evil, if you will, if you call it an evil. Yes, he's not a perfect candidate, Biden, but nobody's ever perfect. But the truth is, many of the things that Donald Trump has put into play or taken away from us would not have been done. It would have been done reverse had Hillary won. Let's put it that way. And the same will be said of Biden. But that doesn't mean people are going to feel it viscerally. People might just say, the heck with it, I'm just going to stay home. And if you do that, you're playing into Trump's hands. That's my point. So I do think he has to pick a woman of color. I said that for a long time, and certainly now in the wake of this George Floyd situation, even more so. But he doesn't have to announce it tomorrow. That's my take. What's yours? Twitter, AB Wright, phone line 347-857-4505. A few folks have some comments about that, I think. Tom says, there's no need for Biden to rush and announce his VP pick. Obama picked Biden in August. Clinton picked Gore in July. That's what I said. Leaping to announce a VP now doesn't accomplish anything that an announcement in July or August won't achieve, especially since the campaign is kind of frozen because of the COVID virus. Yeah, I kind of agree with that, too. Bill says, I don't get the impatience here. Biden already has is already ahead. Of course, again, Bill, I'm not so guaranteed that that's the don't feel too excited about that. He's not in desperate need of a game changer at this point. The last thing he needs is a rushed vetting process. The VP committee should take its time and do it right. Yeah, I agree with that, too. You don't want to pick somebody just as a knee-jerk reaction and then find out there's some problems down the line. I'm pretty agree with that one, that's for sure. Stefan says, Amy Klobuchar just went down the tubes. Val Demings up the ante. We'll see what happens. Yeah, Klobuchar seems like she's probably going to be out, I would suspect. She's come under a lot of fire because as a former county prosecutor in Minnesota, apparently this cop that was arrested was passed over for prosecution in another case. She is defending that by saying that's not true. It was investigated and went to a grand jury, but she was already in the Senate by the time it came to fruition. So there may be some muddling of her background, but at the same time, there are a lot of cases that she kind of dropped the ball on, or at least they thought she did. There's some question about Kamala Harris, by the way, also as a prosecutor. Some people are annoyed at her for that. Val Demings, who I think is a strong contender, was a former police chief in Orlando. Are people going to be mad if you have any law enforcement bona fides? I mean, I think that's going to be a bridge too far as well. But vetting is very important, so they want to make sure that there's not going to be something that is going to be too shocking or distasteful to the electorate at large. So, yes, they should be careful about it. I agree with that. And take your time. He doesn't have to do it now. There's plenty of time, and, of course, to build the excitement. And less time to give for the opposition people to roll out against the pick as well. So there's a lot to think about, but there are some good contenders, and I think it really needs to be thought through very carefully, and don't get complacent, and certainly you shouldn't get complacent on the poll numbers that show that he's ahead, like it should be a no-brainer, because that's what happened with Hillary, frankly. She liked Tim Kaine. They got along well in terms of partnership, and she talked herself into the fact that she was going to win so she could do it. My point is, with vice president picks, they usually do serve a purpose in terms of either a geographical question or a generational question. A lot of people pushing for Elizabeth Warren. I would say that's a no-brainer and a non-starter for, as far as I can see, because you don't need two septuagenarians on the ticket, number one. She's 70-plus, he's 70-plus. She's white, and she also comes from Massachusetts, which, though it is a very blue state, happens to have at this point a Republican governor. So that Charlie Baker, who's the governor now, may in fact appoint himself, a Republican, to that seat. And if we're a razor-thin where we can take back the Senate, we certainly want to do that. So I don't think she should get the nod as far as that goes. So those are all calculations that I think are going to be in the have to be in the Biden hopper, so to speak. But he doesn't have to rush to it. You really don't have to rush to it. Andy says Donald Trump is so worried about losing the election, that's why he's the election thief in chief. And you're scared shitless that Biden's going to beat your cheating ass, so you're trying to steal the election too. You see the dreadful polls, you're done, it's over, resign before you lose the biggest landslide in history. Andy, I hate it. You do this every week. You're always pushing the polls. I look at the polls too, and yes, it's comforting to some extent, but it's a snapshot in time, and I'm not sure who's taking the polls. I mean, I know it's always exciting when a Fox News poll shows that Biden is trouncing Trump, but then Trump gets mad at Fox News, and who the heck knows? Because, as I said, in 2016, the polls had Hillary winning in some states, and nobody thought she was going to win, and guess what? She didn't win, like North Carolina and Arizona, even places that we thought she was going to win, like Michigan and Pennsylvania. So I'm just not enthusiastic about polls in general. I just am not. So just comment. Calm down on that. But the truth is, because he's worried about it, Trump is worried about the polls, he's ginning up this business about mail-in voter fraud, and that's something which is trying to undermine the elections, and that's scary for sure. Twitter, AB Wright, phone line 347-857-4505, Facebook page, PopNet chat box available too. A couple of minutes left here. I want to do our Inspiration to Action shout-out to Monica in Joplin, Missouri, who writes in, yes, thank you so much. I've been doing the challenge on and off, frankly, for a couple of years. Seriously, the last several months, and it's helped me in lockdown. Creativity is key. You don't have to have talent, but it's a great outlet. Thank you so much for getting me on the right road. You're very welcome, Monica. I'm sure you have talent. Everybody's got talent. But you're right. It's all about the process. Fall in love with the process. You can't lose. You can't go wrong. Hey, Inspiration to Action, as it works for you, I'd love to give you a shout-out. On the other hand, if you need a little push in the right direction, let's start a creativity coaching counseling conversation. First one on me, give me a couple of weeks to connect. Do so via the website, amybetharkaway, ARKAWY.com. Easy access via the Twitter feed. And while you're there, you can check out my stories, the Eliza Gordon Mystery, some other goodies are up for grabs. You can chime in, too, with guest suggestions, big story, and Forgotten 45 requests. And you can have links, find links to the podcast, social media connections. It's all there, one-stop shopping, minus the shoes and the groceries. Yeah. And don't forget, the Amy Beth Arkaway Show is archived for podcasts. Wherever you get your podcasts, you can find us. And select editions, too, on the Arts Radio Network and PopNet. Connect with us on social media. Friend me on Facebook. Follow us on Twitter. I am at AB Wright. Our producer, Trudy Hart, is at Radio Trudy. And we look forward to talking with you. Hang in there, folks. Please take care of yourselves. Take care of each other. Just relax. We're going to get through it. Times are changing. Times are going to get better. We can make it happen. This conversation starts here and moves forward, as we said, through legislation, judiciary, and paradigm shifts in society. We'll make it happen. Drive safe. Play nice. Dream big. Please come back and see us on the Amy Beth Arkaway Show. I'm going to leave you with a classic from Jackie DeShannon, What the World Needs Now. It's love. You got it. Take care. I love you all. Thank you, the TCS crew, Trudy and Aurora, MLA headquarters. Take care.
What the world needs now is love, sweet love. It's the only thing that there's just too little of. What the world enough to cross, enough to last till the end of time. What the world is now is love, sweet love. It's the only thing that there's just too little of. What the world. Oh,